Okay, now we are in the middle here of our Below the Surface series that we've been kind of dealing with some of the things that are a little more difficult to deal with. And so here's the deal. I planned this from the very beginning, okay? This is a four-week series. So this is just getting ready to start week three. So if you would, I just need you to take a minute and I'm going to call a timeout, okay? I need to do this so that before we get into week three, we can just take a moment and breathe a little bit. Because I understand that some of the things that we're talking about and dealing with are not easy, okay? Sometimes, you know, it's kind of one of those funny things. It's like, please know this about me if you don't yet. When God will share something with me and says, I want you to share this with hopefully, you know, everybody, 99 times out of 100, it's stuff that I'm dealing with too. It's not stuff that's like God's going, okay, Aaron, you've got this mastered, and so now go express your wisdom and knowledge and insight to the huddled masses. That's nonsense. These are things I deal with too, and they're hard, and they hurt. And I'm never going to look at you and say, oh, just get over it, because this is hard stuff. But here's what I am going to say, is what I started with at the very beginning. No matter how hard this is, no matter how difficult this is, no matter how almost you feel like you're kind of digging up graveyards, if that makes sense, God is not doing it for no reason. He is doing it because he is inviting you to invite him into those areas. And we can go through this entire series, and at the end of it, we can go, boy, I sure am glad that was over, and actually have no life change whatsoever. Or we can go through some very difficult, painful things and come out on the other side whole and healed. What you have to understand is this. For some of us, we are going through a literal surgery right now. And I, you know, as a pastor, I've never necessarily been in a surgery necessarily myself, like a major surgery, but I've been to plenty of them before and after. And I'm just going to tell you right now, when God does heart surgery spiritually, it takes a lot out of us. But here's the thing. A lot of times, the heart surgeries that God is doing is he's not doing it because he's bored as the great physician. He's doing it because he wants to bring life where literally death will occur if life doesn't come in. Okay? So I get it. This is hard. This is difficult. I know some of you probably are just going, please, I just want this to be over. But I am inviting you, I'm begging you to let God heal your heart. Because that's what this is all about. It's not about all the other things that we've talked about as far as hiding and the things we're going to talk about today. It's not about just acknowledging the potholes. It's about letting God do what only God can do. And I beg you, please let him do it. Because I love every single one of you, and I don't want your lives to be full of pain. I want God to come and bring healing and hope in the only way he can. Okay? So I get it. It's hard. It's difficult. It's not easy. But here's the deal, and I've said this before, Grandpa always looked at me, he said, Aaron, anything worth having is worth fighting for. Anything that's hard, there's a reason why it's hard, but God wants to do something great, okay? Okay, time out, back on. Below the surface, week three. Last couple weeks, we've been talking about this idea of kind of what God wants to do, and I kind of already did a little bit of an intro and things like that, but the first week, we talked about our potholes and basically those areas in our heart and our lives that cause issues and really how below the surface, that's where they are. A lot of times, we'll see a pothole and we'll go, look, there's a pothole, but we forget that there's something under the surface that's literally causing that, and we can try to deal with it in a certain way, but until we're really able to deal with what's below the surface, we're always going to still see those potholes come up in our lives. Last week, we kind of talked about hideouts and how when we don't deal with those things and we don't want to deal with them, we run to certain areas or certain people or certain situations trying to deal with those things that only God can deal with. This morning, we're going to continue on with this not easy series to go through, and we're actually going to talk about insecurities. insecurities. Let's pray. Father, we do love you and we do thank you for this day and this time. God, we thank you that God, you invite us into the hard. We thank you that you invite us into the impossible without you. Because in those moments, God, you do what only you can do. You heal in the only way that can really truly heal us. And in that, God, you do great and mighty things. And so, God, I pray that as we look at these things together, that you would help us to allow you, that we would invite you into these areas to make an impact in our lives. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Insecurities. I think insecurities are one of those things that we all have. We all deal with them. And in fact, I kind of even put this in your notes because I know for some of you, you're kind of sitting there going, I don't know if I have any insecurities. I'm not sure if, you know, maybe you feel like you're a very confident individual and you kind of deal with things well. And that's great. But here's what I found literally. I remember talking with one of my college professors about this. And we were talking about some of the insecurities that I had. He was kind of mentoring me when I was in school. And he asked me one day, he said, Aaron, do you have any insecurities? And as you can tell, like, I'm kind of a loud person, and I'm not really afraid of a lot of things, you know, and of course, being about 20 years old at the time, you know, when you feel like you're absolutely invincible, you know, I kind of looked at him, and I said, well, you know what, I don't know if I have any insecurities, and he said this to me, and I put it in your notes. He says, Aaron, if you feel that you don't have any insecurities, that might be your insecurity. And I remember going, oh, what do you know, like, really? He's like, yeah. We all deal with this. This is something that we all fight and we all try to deal with it in our own special way. And some ways are better than others, obviously. But we all deal with these things, these voices maybe that come into our own head. Maybe they're the enemy. Maybe they're our own mind or our own self. But there's these insecurities. And these insecurities, if not properly dealt with, can truly affect a lot of areas of our lives. Because here's the deal. When it comes to insecurities, we tend to do one of two things, okay? Now, maybe there's a third that you do, but just basically we kind of go one of two ways in this. The first thing that we do is we power up and we try to present ourselves as bigger or better than other people. Now, don't answer this, but just think about this on your own, you know, as far as which one of these you typically do. So in this situation, obviously, we're dealing with insecurities. We're dealing with things in our heart and our lives that are difficult to deal with, and we don't like anybody to know. So we kind of puff ourselves up. We try to make ourselves look as good or as great as possible so that everybody is fooled and not aware of basically some of the insecurities that we're truly dealing with, whether that be in a spiritual sense or an emotional sense or whatever area. So that's the first one. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's what you tend to do. The second one is obviously kind of the opposite. We power down and we see ourselves as inferior to other people. We tend to have kind of this type of attitude. Well, I could never do that because I'm not this, or you know, I'm not as good as this person, or I don't do this as well. Or we just kind of belittle ourselves to the point where maybe if we belittle ourselves enough, you know, maybe somebody else will look at us and go, well, you know, you're kind of wonderful. You know, it's almost like we're kind of fishing for compliments, kind of a thing, you know. But that's typically what we do. We either power up or we power down. And most of us will do both of those things depending on who we're talking to, what the insecurity is, or what the situation kind of calls for. You know, we got to do that. And here's the thing that you need to understand, that I need to understand about kind of this situation. And it's simply this. Both being allowed to grow or settle in our heart, that is something that Jesus never intended to be there. Okay? So here's the deal. When we talk about insecurities and we talk about powering up or powering down, neither of those things are going to be ultimately what's going to make an impact or heal or bring us health and wholeness in our hearts and our lives. So there has to be, hopefully, a third option. We're going to get to that at the end of the message. But at the same time, this is typically what we do. We power up, we power down. Again, depending on usually who we're dealing with and the situation and kind of what the insecurity is. In our scriptures that we're going to be looking at today, we're going to talk about a young pastor by the name of Timothy. And Paul and Timothy were very close. Paul was basically Timothy's mentor and things of that nature. Paul basically installed Timothy into the church at Ephesus when Paul kind of helped found that church. And so they had a very close relationship, very, very much. Paul was very interested in Timothy and the church there in Ephesus and all these sort of things. And Timothy's kind of an interesting character. If you look at Scripture and you look at 1 and 2 Timothy, it's kind of an interesting study and it's an interesting read, because although Paul is kind of basically kind of being friend and mentor and kind of spiritual father, he kind of deals with Timothy in a different way than he deals with maybe a church as a whole. It's just very interesting, and it's very cool to read, because when you kind of look at how he handled Timothy and then maybe look and see how he handled the church in Corinth, you kind of see how he'll deal with a group of people and then how he gets a little more specific dealing with Timothy. But Timothy was an interesting guy. He was definitely younger, a pastor. We're not quite sure how old Timothy was. Some scholars say he was as young as maybe early 20s. Some say maybe later 30s. But he was a rather younger guy for the position that he was in. And most scholars actually give Timothy a nickname. We've done this throughout the scriptures. You know, we have some guys that have nicknames. Some of them are not as positive as others. You know, I've always felt like poor Thomas. He's going to have a rough eternity, because, and we're going to look at him and go, well, there goes Doubting Thomas. And he's going to go, really? So scholars have given Timothy kind of a nickname as well, and they call him Timid Timothy. He was very timid. He was kind of, Timothy in a lot of ways dealt with a lot of insecurities. And in fact, I could use other scriptures than the one that I actually chose to use this morning. But in 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul here is desiring to encourage him. He's desiring to help him. In a lot of ways, he's trying to get him away from powering up and powering down. And in 2 Timothy 1:7, this is what Paul writes to him. He says basically this. He says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." You see, a lot of us, because of our insecurities, because of the things that we're dealing with, we walk around with a spirit of fear and timidity. We walk around with that kind of attitude of, like, kind of almost we're afraid of our own shadow. We're concerned that people are going to figure out who we are and what we are, and basically that the things that we've tried to cover up over the years are going to finally be discovered. And Paul here is encouraging him, and he's trying to help him to see, listen, Timothy, you don't need to walk like that. You don't have to have this type of a spirit. In fact, he says you can have a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. Some translations say a sound mind. And here's the deal. Sign me up. Because I walk around sometimes with a spirit of fear. I walk around sometimes not really living in the purposes and the destiny that God's called me to do or be. And I want this from my life. Because here's the deal. There's times in my life where I'm kind of timid Aaron. And again, it kind of depends on the situation or the circumstance. But Paul here is trying to get us to help Timothy and in some ways help us as well deal with this. Because here's the thing we need to understand. When we get uncomfortable with our reality, what we tend to do is hide behind our insecurities. We begin to hide behind them. And when we do that, we begin to say basically things that are untrue about ourselves. We begin to kind of tell stories on ourselves. And instead of really being who we are and who God's called us to be, we instead basically start to put on types of masks to keep us from being found out. I brought something. Show and tell. Catcher's mask. It's funny. I never was a catcher when I played ball. I tried it one time, got hit on my forearm like two times right in a row, and said, "This is nonsense. I'm going back to the infield." And this is obviously a catcher's mask. I remember when these types of kind of, they call these goalie masks, because this kind of has more of a look of maybe like a hockey's goalie mask. I remember when these first came out, and I remember thinking, boy, those look dumb. I didn't like them. But they're very popular now and things like that. And so this is obviously one of the masks that we use at the school where I'm the baseball coach. And so I brought it to show you. And here's the thing. This is a very interesting piece of equipment, because I remember when Easton started to catch, and so he would kind of get down and squat, and I would throw him balls and all this sort of stuff to kind of get into that, the feel of stopping a pitch and catching and all those sort of things. And man, I'll be honest with you, it kind of, you know, not that he wasn't a good catcher, not that he couldn't catch, but maybe it's just as a dad or something like that, I was always afraid of something. I was afraid that I was going to throw a ball and it was going to clip the top of his glove, and then I was going to have to explain to his mother why we had to take Easton to the dentist. Okay? And I remember thinking that, and I remember thinking, you know what we really need? It's not even a catcher's mitt. What we really need is I need to get him a mask. I need to get him something that can protect him from the projectiles that I'm throwing near his head. And so here's the deal. In a lot of ways, you go, that makes complete sense, Aaron. And in our physical life and things like that, it's wisdom sometimes to have a little protection in our hearts, to kind of put that mask on. And here's the deal. In some ways, that's what we do with our insecurities. We grab our mask, we throw it on, and we basically say, this is good because this is going to protect me from all the stuff that's going to come. The problem is this. And listen, I'm not putting this mask on my head. This has been on teenagers' noggins and sweat for a long time. Okay? But here's the deal. Here's what I can promise you. I have worn this mask, and here's what's great about it. It does protect you, but it also, you lose some vision. You lose some perspective. You see, because of the way this is designed, they're trying to give you as much visibility as possible, but they can't give you so much that the ball can go through and knock you in the forehead. So to do what it's been designed to do, it has to limit certain aspects to basically protect you in others. You see, a lot of us, when it comes to our insecurities, we decide that what we need to do is we need to cover them. We need to put a mask over them. And we do it a lot of times with the idea of self-preservation. I'm protecting myself. This person hurt me, or this situation was bad, or this is an insecurity that I have, and this is going to keep me from being hurt again. And typically, unfortunately, what happens is we begin to live our lives looking through the masks. It affects our vision. It affects what we can see. And here's the thing. If you put this mask on, and if I brought all the equipment, I didn't, of course, but I brought all the equipment, and I brought somebody up here, and I dressed them all up in all the catcher's equipment, and I said this to you. What position does this person play? Most of you would know he plays a catcher. You see, the things that eventually you wear will eventually begin to define who you are. To you and to others. So these masks, although they may start in a place of protection, can very, very quickly become identity. They can very quickly become basically things that we just are and that we hide behind. And one of the things that we've been talking about, that we've been looking at together throughout this series, is the idea of this. Because this is really what a mask does, is we often address the potholes or these areas in our lives, these insecurities, by covering them up instead of letting God fill them in. Okay? We cover them up instead of letting God really fill them in. So this morning, we're going to look at basically together this morning four masks that we can put on to hide the insecurities on the inside. These are four masks that we can put on. Now there's more than this, of course, but this is four that I thought were important. And here's the deal. You may go, I'm not really dealing with any of these. You may say, well, I have another mask. That's great. But again, a lot of us are dealing with these sort of things. So the first one I want to look at this morning is the idea of the showman's mask. The showman's mask. This is a mask that's really put on by people that are really trying to kind of cover things up. They're really basically trying to show you how wonderful they are. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been out with somebody and you sit down for dinner or you sit down for coffee or whatever, and you say hello and they say hello, and then they go into a 30-minute story about them. And they just keep talking and they keep talking. And then they'll say something like this, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry, I'm talking too much about myself. And then so tell me something about you. In fact, why don't you tell me what you think about me? And a lot of it is this show, trying to get everybody to pay attention to the show and not really what's going on. One of the things that I did when I was a teenager with my youth group is we went on missions trips, and one of the things I got to do, and it was so much fun because we would do kind of kids crusades or VBSs or things like that, and I was actually, I don't know if I've ever told you this, I know this is going to be wonderful for you to learn about me. Don't laugh. I would do the kids, and I had a special part, and I would do, you ready for this? Because we couldn't call it magic in the 80s. I would do wonder lessons. Yeah. You know, and I had a stage name. I was the Amazing Aaron. And I would do a little sleight of hand and little, you know, I mean, some of you like that are around my age, like you remember like this sort of stuff. You know, it was kind of like the gospel message in a magic trick, you know, kind of a thing. And I would do this and it was so much fun. And I remember learning about these things and enjoying about these things. And here's what I learned about wonders. Is my job as the Amazing Aaron was to get you to focus here when everything was happening down here. The showman mask is a lot like that. It's like, don't look at all my stuff. Don't look at my heartbreak. Don't look at the things in my life that aren't what they're supposed to be. Pay attention to how wonderful I am over here. Pay attention to this. And basically, it's a situation where people that deal with this, they are so motivated, it's in your notes, by doing, 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 rather than just being who God created them to be. It's just this idea, I gotta fool everybody, because if they really know who I am, if they really know what I am, boy, that's gonna be a problem. And here's what I've learned about being a showman. It's exhausting. It's exhausting. Because it is not easy to fool people 24/7. Because here's the deal. Some of us, man, this mask maybe just comes out in church, but for others, it's every place. It's home, it's school, it's work, it's church, it's whatever it might be. And what's interesting about this is Jesus actually kind of deals with this individual in Matthew 6. In Matthew 6, 5 through 6, this is what basically Jesus says. He says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will get. He says, but you're going to be different. He said, when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Jen, leave that up there for a second, because we're going to break this verse down for just a second. Because in a lot of ways, the showman is the hypocrite. It's the somebody that puts on a mask. In fact, when you kind of go and do a word study, and we're not going to get into it today, many of you know this, you know, the word hypocrite is basically an actor. It's someone that would put on masks at the time and try to fool people with who they are and versus who they really are. And Jesus says, don't be like that. Don't be the person that puts the mask on. Because here's what he tells you. He says, when you put the mask on and you become the showman, the reward you get is exactly what we see here in Scripture. It's being seen by people. And you go, well, that's what I want. I want people to see me. But listen to the reward that Jesus says. Listen, if you will just take the mask off, if you'll be okay with just being who you are and who I created you to be, knowing that, yes, you're not perfect, knowing that, yes, you need to have God do some work in your life like every single one of us do. But the reward that we get when we're willing to go away and be by ourselves and pray to God in private to really be who we are by taking off our mask, that reward comes from the Father. And that's going to be so much better than any reward by being seen. And a lot of times, and in this context, I would say this, your reward in this area is the reward of some healing and some wholeness and some hope. Which, you know what, I'd take that every day over being seen by everybody else. But for some of us, man, we put on that mask so no one can truly see who we really are. The second one is the idea of the superior mask. This is that individual that's always got to be right and always got to know everything. And basically, if you go to them and you say something that basically you kind of get to them before they tell you that they know it, they basically say, well, yeah, of course, I knew that. If you haven't noticed, both of, just so you know, the first two of these are going to be the idea of powering up, and the last two are going to be kind of powering down. And so it's this idea of kind of, I'm so good, I don't need any help, I've got all my stuff together, you don't need basically, I don't need to listen to you. You know, it's kind of the person that you've kind of been around where you kind of go to them and say, hey, you know, have you thought about this or you thought about that? Or are you willing to see this in this light? And boy, they just kind of refuse to do that. They refuse to take any type of advice or help from anybody because they have to know it all. Proverbs 12:15 kind of talks about a person like this. In Proverbs 12:15, this is what it says. It says, the way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. They're willing to be willing to understand that they don't know everything. And they're okay with that. They're okay with that. And here's the deal. Maybe I know that at times, and I'm speaking personally, with the job that I do, like I have to fight the superior mass sometimes because here's the deal. Sometimes I don't necessarily want to put it on, but I feel like others expect me to have it on. They expect, somebody comes and says, hey, what do you think about this portion of scripture? And I always get a kick out of that. Because first of all, I love when that happens. I'm honored that that happens. But I always get a kick when people come to me almost like they have this opinion like, well, obviously, you know, this small scripture in Ezekiel, I've studied in depth. And again, at least they're not coming up to me going, well, obviously you have no idea that Ezekiel is even a book in the Bible, you know. So I'll take it. But it's like they'll come and it's like, you know, so I was reading in Jeremiah. And I was, that's great. You know, what do you think about this? Like I've memorized it. And I'll say, let me look here a little bit. Let me spend a little time looking at it. And so here's the deal. Sometimes this mask, the superior mask, is a mask that almost, it feels like even though we're responsible now, don't misunderstand me. Nobody can put a mask on you. But at times it does feel like for me, sometimes people say, here's your mask, put it on. And I have to fight that. I have to fight and be able to look and say, listen, I may not know everything. I don't know everything. But for some of us, it's hard to do this because we don't want to look weak. We don't want people to know that we really just don't know it all. And it's also a way that we can basically kind of, unfortunately, push other people down to raise ourselves up. You see, here's the thing. If I look better than you, my insecurities don't go away, but they don't seem so loud. You know, we kind of have this type of attitude. We've seen this before. Well, I'm not perfect, but at least I don't deal with that or what that individual deals with. And so it's kind of a way to pull them down so that we can get pulled up. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians 2. It's a great verse. Philippians 2, verse number 3. It says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Now, I'm going to be really harsh for just a second. Are you ready? I'm glad you're seated. I don't always think of myself as less than others. Now, I'm sure you do this perfectly, but I don't. This is hard. And I'm going to be just honest with you. We really will struggle with this without the help of the Holy Spirit. We need God's help to do this because we typically... we don't think of others as less than, you know, we think of others as less than us. And Paul's here, no, that's not how you should be doing this. And when we go to these masks, they're ultimately going to cause problems and relational things and all sorts of things that God does not have for you and for me. So those are kind of the first two. Those are kind of the idea of elevating. Let's look at the last two that kind of bring things down. The first one is the solution giver mask. Now, here's what's interesting about this one. This one kind of seems like, well, isn't this a good thing? Because, I mean, this is an individual who kind of looks around and tries to find the problems and look for things in other people. And, hey, let me help you here and let me help you there. And this could be kind of masqueraded in a way that kind of looks like, man, this is not a bad thing. This is kind of a good thing, you know, like to help people and to see all the issues and the problems. And listen, I'm not even talking about how typically we'll go there with basically somebody that just always sees the problems. This is someone who actually is not somebody that wears a mask that just sees the problems. This is someone who actually has some solutions, which is a nice thing. The problem with this mask is not necessarily that there's somebody wanting to do that, but it's what eventually will happen to the person that's giving the solutions. Because here's the thing. although we need to be and should be a part of each other's lives and iron sharpening iron and all those things, and we need to help each other when we have that type of relationship within each other, at the time, sometimes though, we can get so focused on everybody else's problems that we won't deal with our own. In fact, because the world is full of people that are full of problems and full of issues, it can actually become a burden very, very quickly. In a lot of ways, this person doesn't necessarily want to give solutions from the right motive. In fact, it becomes a very negative motive that can kind of build on itself. You see, when we put this burden of trying to solve problems, because we do this because if we're afraid that if we don't, we're going to be forgotten and excluded. We kind of, once again, we put our mask on, and now we're that individual. And we kind of say, well, I got to solve it. I got to fix it. I got to take care of it. And that kind of feeds something in our hearts and in our lives that should only be fed by Jesus. Only be fed by him. Because here's the deal. Very quickly, we elevate meeting the needs for others over the approval that Jesus has already given us. And so we want to be identified in this way. Now, here's the deal. You know, helps is a gift of the Spirit. I mean, you know, that's a good thing. That's a wonderful thing to do and to help each other and be there. And all these things, I'm not saying that's not good. It's the motive behind it that can sometimes really cause issues in our hearts and in our lives. You see, Jesus really looks at us and he says, listen, I want you to know that I approve of you the way you are. And yes, I want you to use your gifts. We're going to look at that in a second. But at the same time, can you just be okay being my child? Because sometimes we just honestly, that's not enough for us. And so our motives switch and our motives become problematic. In 1 Samuel 16, we kind of see how God kind of looks at this situation. We know this story from when Samuel goes in to anoint the next king of Israel. And basically he goes to Jesse's house and Jesse brings all his sons except for the scrawny little shepherd boy out in the fields. And so he brings in all the sons and they're handsome, tall, and they look the part and all these things. And basically Samuel goes through and says, what about this one? What about this one? What about this one? And God says, no. And basically Samuel's like, what do you mean? God, these guys look perfect. In 1 Samuel 16:7, God responds to that idea and that concept. And he says, listen, the Lord doesn't see the way you see them. People judge by the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. You see, here's the deal. When it comes to the solution giver, okay, motive matters. And God sees the heart. And if your motives aren't what they need to be, this mask can actually, even though it seems to be a good mask, can actually be a mask that can be just as detrimental as the rest. Just as detrimental as the rest. Number four, last one, the self-deprecating mask. The self-deprecating mask. This is, of course, the mask of the person that always kind of comes up, and it's always, woe is me. It's always, let me tell you how horrible my life is. You know, I don't know if you've ever met a person like this. I actually knew some people, knew a specific person. They're not here, don't worry about it, but I know somebody just like this. And it's like you could literally do this. You could walk up to them and say, hi, how are you? Good. Hey, listen, how's your day been? You know, it's okay, except I just literally had my hand cut off. Literally, it's gone, you know, kind of, I can't do it. Saves you. Gone. And they would go, oh, I am so sorry. So funny that you mentioned it. I just had my whole leg cut off. And it's almost this woe is me. We've kind of talked about this kind of person sometimes with this mask a little bit. We talked about the earlier in the series where there's this idea of kind of they make their home in their pain. It literally defines them in every way, shape, or form. It's literally like God could basically say, here, I'm going to do something great. I'm going to do something awesome. And they could say, well, I'm so glad God did that. I'm so glad God blessed me because God didn't do it over here. You know, it just kind of defines who they are. It really, in a lot of ways, is their identity. And here's the deal about those types of people. Maybe help you to see sometimes if maybe you put this mask on. They're really good at assessing the potholes, but they don't address the potholes. You know, like we are, they're very aware of all the issues and all the potholes in their lives, but they kind of do this. They kind of go out and can you imagine working for the city or the county or whatever, and you drive out and your job is to identify potholes. And so you go and you see one and you go, yep, there's a pothole. It's deep. Probably some stuff underneath, problematic. Well, I identified. You go back to your boss and he says, did you find any potholes? Yes, I sure did. Well, what are we going to do about it? Nothing. We just know, aren't we glad we know where they're at? Isn't that enough? You know, and here's the thing. It's great to know your potholes. But God wants to fill them. God wants to heal them. And here's the deal. And this, listen, for some of you, this may be hard and it may be a little scary. Okay? You are not defined by your pain and your hurt. That is not who you are. If you've accepted Jesus, you are a child of the King. And yes, there is pain in life. Jesus was very clear. He said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. And some of you, hear me here. Please hear me here. Some of you think the verse ends right there. In this world, I'm going to have trouble. And boy, that's just period. Done. Yep. My world is trouble. My life is trouble. My world is painful. All these things. But that verse doesn't stop there. He says, but take heart because I've overcome the world. And some of us don't live that way. We live in a way that says, yes, the world gives us trouble. Yes, the world gives us pain. And I just have to deal with it when God says, no, you don't. I can heal it. I can bring wholeness. I can do something that only I can do. And he can do those things in our hearts and in my heart and in your heart. And he knows how it all fits together. Look at Psalms 139. Psalms 139, looking at verses 13 and 14, he says this, for I created, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. You see, here's the deal. You can't say that verse and mean it and have this mask on. Because a lot of times we look at that and go, God, you didn't make me right. God, you didn't make my situations correct. God, you made this situation not be exactly the way I wanted. It brought pain and brought problems and issues in my life. But God says, no, I knit you together. I know who you are, and you are wonderfully made. Even in your pain, that I can actually, God says, I can actually heal. But here's the deal. We all deal with these things. And here's the thing. We don't always want to deal with them. And I know that. I know it's hard. We talked about that at the beginning. But here's the deal. The unaddressed potholes in our lives will dictate the masks that we choose to wear. When we don't allow God to bring his truth and his hope and his healing and his mercy into those deep areas of our lives, I promise you, you'll reach for a mask every chance you get. And Paul knew that about Timothy. Paul knew that he was struggling here. So listen, let's look, because remember we talked about one option, two options, and neither being good. Let's look how Paul brings forth a third option. Let's see how Paul encourages Timothy to take off his mask of insecurity. We go back now to 2 Timothy. We go back and we look at verses, chapter 1. We're going to first look at verse number 5. 2 Timothy 1, verse number 5, Paul's now continuing to write to him. And he says, I remember your genuine faith. What's interesting about this passage is when we talked about Jesus talking about the hypocrite in Matthew, basically the idea of genuine faith, that word, and the idea of a hypocrite are basically diametrically opposed. And so what Paul is basically communicating to him is like, listen, you have a real faith. You have a genuine faith. It's not fake. It's not phony. It's real. And he says, listen, I remember seeing that. It's there. It may be buried. Listen, sometimes we put the masks on and it kind of gets buried down, but Paul is calling that back up into his friend. He's calling that back into this young pastor. He's saying, I've seen it. I remember it. He said, for you, you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that same faith continues strong in you. What's Paul do? He begins to encourage. He begins to say, no, there is something good, very good inside of you. And here's the thing. Timothy couldn't do this alone. Timothy wouldn't just magically have this genuine faith. It came from Paul. It came from his grandmother. It came from his mother. And basically, Paul is calling that back up in him and saying, listen, you don't have to have the mask. You can be genuine because I've seen it before. And here's what's awesome is when I look at people that I love and care about in this church, I can say the same thing. I've seen it before. I've seen the genuine faith. I've seen it and I know it can be strong. And listen, sometimes it gets a little weak. Sometimes there are areas that we struggle with, but guess what? It's still there and God can bring it up and forward in your heart, in your life. And you can have the ability and the strength to take off the mask, throw it away, because God has done something awesome in your heart and in your life. But sometimes it's hard. I get it. So Paul first calls that up in Timothy, but then he continues in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now he goes on to verse number 6. He says, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. So what's the second thing he does? He basically says, hey, you have a purpose. God has a plan for your life, and you know what? It's maybe time to take the mask off and start to fan it into flames. Because here's the thing. When I see that idea of fanning into flames, I don't know if you've ever gone out and maybe tried to start a fire in the woods. Please make sure that's safe. Don't do it anytime now because it's like really dry. But I remember learning how to do that. And you would go, you know, when I think of fanning, I don't think of this. You know, like that's not effective, especially as you're trying to kindle a fire. What you do is you kind of get your kindling there, and you kind of get it in your hand, maybe get your spark or whatever, and you kind of just go down real low and just begin to do this. You ready? You just blow. You don't blow too hard. It'll take the ember out, but you just begin to flow a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, and all of a sudden that little spark, that little ember can grow into this huge, huge flame. And Paul's looking at Timothy, he says, listen, it's time to blow on those things. And here's the thing, I promise you, and I brought this mask on purpose, you put this on because of all this, this mask, you're gonna struggle to get close enough to blow on the flame, and you're gonna have some distractions or you're gonna have some barriers that will cause the flame to be harder to get through. Paul starts by reminding him of the genuineness of his faith so he can take the mask off. And then when the mask is off, then God can use him to do great and mighty things for him because now he can actually fan into flames the gifts and the purposes that God has given him. You see, for some of us, we want to be used by God so much, and God looks at us and says, I want you to be used by me. I have great purposes and plans for your life, but you're gonna have to take the mask off first. Well, God, I want to be a great husband. I want to be a great father. I want to be a great spouse or wife or teacher or business person or whatever. I want to be those things. God, I know you've called me to be those things. And God would tell you, yes, I have. Take off the mask so that you can be used by me in the way that I truly want to use you. It's not always easy. It can be a little scary. But God has called us to do great and mighty things for him. And Paul reminds Timothy of that. So to conclude very quickly this morning, I want to give you some real quick application points to how we deal with these insecurities. I call it the remedy to our insecurities. And we're going to go through these quick because they're not really that difficult to understand. But they're still a part of this. So you go, basically, here's the situation. You go, okay, Aaron, I get it. I got it. I got masks. I got insecurities. What am I supposed to do about them? Here's the remedy. You ready? Number one, remove the mask. You know, that's real simple, but you got to take the mask off. You have to be willing to acknowledge. And here's the deal. You go, but Aaron, if I take the mask off, you know, I could get hit in the face. Yeah, you could. Yeah, you could. And it takes some courage to take the mask off. But you got to take it off. God will help you take it off, but you got to remove the mask. That's the first step. Number one, you got to confess the cover up. You got to confess the cover up. And I would say that confession needs to obviously first be to God. God, I am sorry that there are these potholes in my life that I'm not dealing with, that I've not dealt with, and God, I've just put a mask on, I've covered them up, I haven't really dealt with them, I haven't brought them to you, and Father, I'm sorry, because in a lot of ways, listen, that is some ways that we kind of communicate to God that we really don't trust him, that we really don't believe that he can do what he's promised us he can do. For some of us, maybe we've put on masks with other people, people we love and care about, and we maybe need to go to them and say, you know what, this was a situation I never dealt with, and I put on this mask, and I'm sorry. And I've taken the mask off, and now I'm going and confessing those things. And then the third one, of course, is then this, is then use the gifts he's given you. Use the gifts that he's given you. Fulfill your purpose. Fulfill the things that God has called you to be, whether it be being a great mother, a great father, a great grandparent, a great leader in the church, whatever God has called you to in this moment. You begin to move in that way. You begin to be used in that way, and you fan into flames those things. So important. Look at 1 John 1:8-9. I want to encourage you with this verse. It says, if we claim that we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Let's close. Again, we just do that so we can focus. I want to talk to you very quickly. As we talked about at the very beginning, I know that for some of us, man, God's been kind of doing a little open heart surgery. And that's hard. I've known many people that have gone through that physically. And you know, the bottom line is this. When somebody, you know, cuts your chest open to deal with the issues that are in your heart, there's going to be some scars, and there's going to be some pain, and there's going to be some hurt. But a good doctor will look at the patient and say, listen, yeah, there's going to be some stuff that comes here. But the bottom line is this, if you don't deal with these things, eventually it'll lead to death. And some of us can get so wrapped up, and I know I do this too. Okay, we get so fixated on the thought of spiritually speaking, the scalpel and the scars, that we forget the healing. We forget that when the great physician begins to deal with our hearts, he can bring true wholeness and true healing. You see, if you got a clogged artery in your physical body, that's not a good thing. You need to get that taken care of, you know what I mean? But here's the thing I know, because I've known people that have had those things and they've got open heart surgeries and blah, blah, blah. And here's what I know. I still went to their funeral. Now, maybe they didn't die of a heart attack, but eventually death came. And here's what's so wonderful about when God does open heart surgery spiritually in our hearts, when we invite him into that, that healing, that's something different. And that's the type of healing and wholeness that God wants to bring. He wants to come in, if you will invite him into that spot, and do something incredible. And I understand that for some of us, these have been hard messages. And we can be so focused on the pain that we can miss the healing. And I just want to encourage you. We have a great physician who knows every heart and desires to heal every single one of them. Every single one. He can do that. He wants to do that. Will you invite him to that place? Will you take the mask off and say, you know what, Father, I've tried to cover this for so long. I've tried to cover it for so long, and I'm tired. And it hasn't taken care of the pain. All that it's done is put a big metal plate over what's really destroying me from below the surface. Will you come and just heal my heart? And here's the deal. That's a journey for a lot of us. But will you invite the Lord into that situation to start that journey today? Like, let's stop waiting. Let's stop fooling ourselves and thinking the mask is going to work. It's not. The hideout's not going to work. We talked about that last week. The only thing that can fill that place is Jesus. Just invite him into that spot. Be specific. You know what I'm talking about. God, this situation, this individual, this hurt, this heartbreak, this whatever it is. And say, God, I invite you to start to fill that place in me. I invite that type of restoration in my heart. Because, God, that's what you do. You heal, you restore, and you make it brand new. And I know, God, there are places in my heart that I still need to take the mask off and hand over to you. So I'm in the same boat too, guys. And I want God to truly heal my heart. And I want God to truly, truly, truly heal yours. So listen, we're going to pray. And if that's you, I would just invite you to invite God into that area. There's no magic words. It's just God, I'm dealing with this. Will you come and heal my place, heal my heart? Will you begin that journey of restoration in me? That I can't, I've tried all these other things, it's never gonna work. I know it's you and you alone. And now I'm asking you to come and allow him to do that, okay? Let's pray together. And if that's you, call out to him. He hears your prayers. And he can change it all. So Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for this time, for this opportunity to come. And God, you know what? For a lot of us, man, we literally live with masks on. And maybe it was one of the masks we talked about. Maybe it's a completely different one. But we know we got them. We know we wear them because of the insecurities that we deal with on a daily basis. And Father, we need you to come into those areas. And we need help to take the mask off so that you can heal and you can do in us what only you can do. So Father, I invite you into those areas of my life. Into those insecurities, into those hard places, into those painful places, those things that maybe are sort of dealt with, but not quite yet. And maybe I'm okay in certain areas, but man, when I get into a certain situation with a certain person, man, that mask, I run to it, I throw it on really fast. Father, I need that healing in my heart. I invite you into that place in me. And Father, for every person, every individual here and online, God, I pray that they are praying that exact same prayer. And that, Father, you would begin that process of restoration and healing and hope and wholeness that only you can do. We love you, Father. We thank you for your goodness. Because although these can be hard moments, God, you are still good. And you are still doing good things in our hearts. So we invite you to that. We love you and we thank you. You're so good. We love you so much. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. So listen. I love you very much. And we're going to head off here in a little bit to go have lunch together at Jason's Deli. Like Pastor Renee said, we haven't had one of these in quite a while just because of how everything's fallen. So if you're available and you don't have lunch plans, we would love to have you join us. We're going to go, obviously, to the Jason's Deli over here by Flatirons Mall. It's always a great time. There's a lot going on this week. Youth is tonight. Ladies Book Club. There's a lot going on. So please make sure that you're aware of it. Thank you so much for being here. For those that are online, we love you. We hope you're doing well wherever you're at. And we'll all see you at lunch. Love you.